Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Can you give me, Tim, give me Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to go with those verses today. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. One who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. When we're unskilled in the word of righteousness, it means we're not maturing. The word babe is the Greek word napios, and means not able to talk. So you got to learn how to talk when you become born again. These people are getting baptized, they're going to have to learn how to talk, you know, their identity, who they are. You see that? Because the Bible teaches in Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Your life is being guided by your tongue. James says it's like your entire life is being guided by your tongue. It's like the little rudder on a ship, like the Titanic. That little rudder guided that ship. Guided that ship because they weren't watching, ended up hitting an iceberg, right? Because the rudder was guided that way. If it was guided the other way, it wouldn't have hit it. This tongue is guiding your life. I was looking at some leadership material the other day. I'd gone to a leadership conference, and it had that verse, Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit of it. There was a quote with that verse, and this was the quote. And that's just the way I want it. If you can't say that, you shouldn't say it at all. Did you hear me? And that's just the way I want it. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, and that's just the way I want it. I can't do anything right. Well, that's just the way I want it. You see that? See, when you're a baby, you'll say anything. We got to learn to watch what we say. Because in the spiritual realm, what you say is guiding your life. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, say. Say. You don't just pray silent. No, you got to say something. Making sense? Are you glad you came to church today? We're glad you made it. We're excited, all right? So now, it's this idea that we don't want to be unskilled in the word of righteousness. And so that's because when we're unskilled, our discernment is down. See, remember, we want to be discerning. In the times we're living in, we have to be able to discern not only the times, but the people that are around you. Because the people around you, who you hang with, is it, what's it say in the Bible? In 1 Corinthians 15, 33, I believe it is. It says, bad company corrupts good habits. So you got to watch the people you're hanging with all the time. See that? You want your discernment around. I always said in a swimming pool, you can't have a no peeing section sign, right? Because if you put that out there, that's going to be over as soon as a bunch of kids get in there, amen? But here's the idea. If you're in the pool, it's going to get on you. You hear me? That's the way it is. people you're around, it's going to get on you. Donita has a little, we have our little vernacular that we talk at home. You know, we talk sweet all the time. And we start talking, that's nice, you know. We just get real extra sweet. And then we say, I like you. So now, yeah. So we were in the kitchen the other day, and I said, I like you. You know, something she made, she cooked. And then Donita says, don't you like you, Olivia? Olivia says, I like you. She says, oh, no, I got to. She goes, I'm starting to talk like you guys. She's in the pool. Are you with me? That's a reality. People you're around, it's going to get on you. You hearing that? And that can be a good thing or that can be a bad thing. So you need to be aware. Making sense? We're teaching people in this church that we're going to grow. Because you want to be in a Bible-believing church because of the doctrines, the false doctrines, and all the false teachings that are out there flourishing around. You want to be in a place where the Bible is being taught and preached. You see that? We don't have all the answers. We're not perfect, but we're all about the Bible. You see that? And the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that with everything we are in this church. And you get a hold of that Bible, it will help you and change your life. Now, so we want to be skilled in the word of righteousness. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But we can be skilled in the word of righteousness. See that? And that's why it says all scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God will be complete, fully equipped, prepared for every good work. See, the word of God has been given to you and to me to prepare us for the good work he created you for. You see that? It says in Ephesians 2:10, he says, you've been created in Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prearranged beforehand that you should walk in them. God had a plan and purpose all planned out before you even took your first breath. When you were in your mother's womb, God had that planned out. Are you listening to me? Now think about that. You paying attention again? This is significant. You have to understand that. Because if you don't ever get that message and understand it, you'll be lost. The Bible says you're lost. When you're lost, the word lost means, you know what it means? Out of alignment and out of your position. Out of alignment. The word of God has been given to you to get you to line up with what God created you for. You see that? Line up with what God created you for. You seeing that? And you won't be lost. Think about this. In Nehemiah chapter 6, we're not looking at that right now, but I'm explaining it to you. See, here's the thing too. We have children coming to church today who've never heard Bible stories. They've never heard about Daniel in the lion's den. They've never heard about Jonah and the whale. They've never heard about all the Abraham and Isaac. They haven't heard the Bible stories. Because we're living in an age of spiritual ignorance. And spiritual ignorance is darkness. Darkness. You hear me? Spiritual ignorance is darkness. That's what it means. And the word darkness means murky, dreary. Don't that sound? I don't want to be part of murky and dreary. Do you? See, when something's murky, you can't see clearly. And that's what darkness does. It affects the way you see. So now think about this. When you were standing up, we took this on. I started pastoring this church. Oh, it's over 24 years now. Now I'm in my 25th year. So I was preaching on Nehemiah, and he was teaching at the Watergate. And everybody stood up. And so that's why I have everybody stand up when the word of God is being proclaimed and is spoken. We stand for the reading to honor God's word. We're going to honor God's word in this house. You see that? Because this is his house. We're his people, right? We want to honor him and keep him in his rightful place. We're not going to take him out of our house and out of our home and out of our marriage and out of our life. We're going to get him up in there because he's going to make it better. Amen? Now, Nehemiah, in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, there's these three guys. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. I'm telling you this real quick. Nehemiah was a cupbearer and for the king. And cupbearer would protect the king. He would drink everything first so the king wouldn't get poisoned. If he was going to get poisoned, he would have to take it. See that? And he would die first. He was there to protect the king. So he was a cupbearer. So he was a cupbearer, but he had an assignment to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem means the city of peace. The walls have been just destroyed. So Nehemiah was there rebuilding the wall in chapter 6 of Nehemiah. And he's up there on the wall, putting the stones up and putting the mortar in and rebuilding. And these three guys that were sent, messengers sent, their names were Geshem, Tobiah, and Sanballat. You can read about it. And they were messages to get Nehemiah to stop doing the work. Because if they could get him to stop doing the work, they wouldn't have peace in Jerusalem. They would stay confused and they would stay defeated all the time. But Nehemiah said, why should I come down from this wall and listen to you? He says, you've made it up in your own hearts. And you're lying. In other words, you're accusing me and saying things that's not even true. What you've done is you've made it up in your own heart. And it says they came to tell him. They were giving him a message to distract him so his hands would be weakened and he couldn't finish the work. Are you listening? So his hands would be weakened and couldn't finish the work. And Nehemiah prayed out, oh God, strengthen my hands that the work will be completed. You know what the word hands means? The word hands means your will in Hebrew. What you do with your hands is your will. You young guys, you have a girlfriend, look at me. Keep your hands to yourself until you're married. What you do with your hands is your will. You see, that's what God is trying to say. It's the word yoda in Hebrew. Listen, that's what Nehemiah was saying. I need my will strengthened so I can finish this work and this assignment you have on my life. I need the will. I need my will to line up with your will, God, so I can finish this assignment. You seeing this? I would never have been able to stay in this church for 24 years if I didn't understand what I just said. Our will always wants to wane. Oh, this isn't that important. Yes, it is. Your will, you want it to do God's will. Because when you get to God's will, it's always better. Always better. Listen to me. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. See, when I raise my hands in church, that's my will. I want my will to worship you. Don't you like that? Why do they raise their hands in that church? Because it's the will of God. Well, I'm not going to raise my hand. Well, that's okay. I am. Right. I want my will after his. Right. You seeing that? Clap your hands. Shout with a voice of triumph. You clap. You see that? That's your will. Give me more. Right. Amen. Give me more, Lord. Yes. Yes. Are you with me? Oh, don't you like that? Now think about this. You know what? That ought to make you start thinking about what your hands are doing. Now look. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables. You know what Peter's saying? Fables are stories that are made up. It's to get your will to scheme, to get you to do their will, not God's will, their will. Did you hear that? That's what that's about. Fables, stories made up, when we made known to you the power, the what? The power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. And we're in the age where he could come any moment. I mean, just watch the news, right? So now look, you just got to be ready.
Right.
And help others be ready. Now look. And coming, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter is letting you know that he was an eyewitness of what he's getting ready to speak to you about. Because he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with James and John and Jesus. Yeah. That's right, Carlos. I'm glad Carlos is here. He always encourages me. Man, you're a ball of encouragement, brother. Now watch. But were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now think about this. Give me the next one. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Talking about Jesus. When Jesus got baptized. You see that? When Jesus had to be baptized. That's why being baptized is a big deal. Jesus did. We're going through, right? Now look. Now look, verse 18. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, Mount of Transfiguration. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Now Peter's telling us this is a prophetic word and it's confirmed. A lot of translations say it's more confirmed. You hear me? It's a more sure word. That's what the word confirmed means. More sure. So in other words, this word is authentic. This word is real. This word is verified. It is guaranteed and established. This is really how it is. And that's what Peter is telling us. And this is what we need to know. Now listen. It's confirmed. It's authenticated. It's more sure. It's more sure than anything else on the planet. You can count on what this says. And when it's proclaimed, it will help you in the way it says it will help you. Now look. Which you do well to heed. This word heed, it means to give one's full attention. It's the Greek word proseccho. It means to give one's full attention to a matter, to apply the mind to a thing, or to give serious consideration and contemplation to what is being heard. That's the way you ought to be listening right now. He's saying that right now, because this thing is going to help you. Take heed. Give it serious consideration. Pay attention. Get your mind around this, what's being said. Peter was using this word under the authority of Scripture. That's what he's saying. It's under the authority of Scripture. And Scripture's being proclaimed and preached right now. You see that? If you are going to be preoccupied with anything, we need to be preoccupied with Scriptures. Amen? Now look what he says. Confirmed which you do well to take heed as a light shines in a dark place. This word light is the Greek word L-U-C-H-N-O-S. It refers to an oil-burning lamp, and it depicts a light that shines continuously. In other words, they had lamps, little things they held, and it's full of oil, and it had a wick on it, and it would burn continually. They kept putting more oil in and just changed the wick ever so often, but it burned all the time. That's what you have when you have the light in you. When it's in you, it eradicates spiritual darkness. Only the scripture, God's word, is the light. It says, thy word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. It's the light. It eradicates ignorance and darkness in you. Removes it. Nothing else can remove it. Nothing else can remove ignorance and darkness out of your life except God's word. Are you listening to me? That's significant. Now watch. This is so big. The scriptures are God's lamp to give continuous light to a people, a society that would lie in darkness if the light of God's word was removed. You see that? We're an assembly. We are a community. We're a prestigious bunch to take light out into the world. You see that? Carry this light into the world to help others see. You see that? Watch. Jesus commissioned Paul in Acts 26. He says, now I'm sending you to turn them from darkness to light, from ignorance to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance sanctified by faith in me. An inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that will never fade away. An inheritance that's reserved in heaven for those who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in these last days. Are you listening to me? That's what's going on right now. It's being revealed. We're finding out what our inheritance is, and we're going to walk in it. He said he has qualified you. He's qualified you with the saints of your inheritance. You're qualified for that inheritance. And you've been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I ain't going to put this light out. All right. Only the light of God's word drives away spiritual darkness. The word dark, I told you, here's the Greek word for it. A-U-C-H-M-E-R-O-S means dark, dreary, and murky, and dismal. I don't want to go there, do you? I know when I'm fishing and the water's all murky, can't see anything in there, can you? I like to be able to see it. When things are murky, you can't see clearly. And that's the way it is. When you're in darkness, you can't see clearly. God's word is bringing light to help you to see his vision and to see what's really going on in this world. You see that? When you understand what I'm talking about today, you face things in life, you say, I've been informed, because you're the church. You've been informed on the inside. I know why this person is mistreating me. I still love them, and I'm going to give them God's grace, because I've been informed. I've got the light in me. I'm not going to let how they're treating me get me upset. I'm going to keep loving them and giving them God's grace. See, that's the light working. Exposing and removing that darkness. You seeing that? Now watch. The word of God proclaimed in a dark, dreary, and murky place of our hearts brings light. Light into every area of our lives. Now watch this. God's truth, when it's embraced, it shines light into every sphere of life, psychologically, sociably, spiritually, and physically. Every area of our life. Bringing understanding and enlightenment and eradicating the ignorance that governs darkened minds. See, that's what's going on in the world. When you're under the world system, Jesus said this in John 14, verse 30. He said, the ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. The ruler. Who's the ruler? Satan. Satan is ruling this system to keep you ignorant to try to keep you ignorant of what's really going on. You hear me? When you get under God's rule, His kingdom, then you start to see, your eyes are opened to see what's really going on. Now watch, Jesus said in John 14 also, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Guard, shield, and protect what He says in your life. Guard, shield, and protect. That shows that you love Him. He didn't say, if you love me, pray for me or pray for people. Huh? He didn't say, if you love me, pray for. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You keep His commandments, you're going to know who to pray for. You're going to know what to pray for. Are you listening to me? He says in 1 John 5, 2 and 3, He says, this is how they're going to know the love of God, that you keep His commandments. For His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments don't bring heaviness and weigh you down and depress you in life. His commandments cause you to stand up and walk in freedom and know who you are in this life. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Now watch. Let's look at this. Shines until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. The word morning star, this is what our Bible says. The word morning star is one word in the Greek. Phosphorus. The word phos, P-H-O-S, means this. Light. Phos, light. Phores, P-H-E-R-O-S, means this. To carry in. So when I'm got the light in me, I'm carrying it in. I'm carrying it in to dark places at work, to dark places in the neighborhood, to dark places. Are you hearing me? I was at McDonald's this week. I went there and got me a double cheese with extra pickles. I like that. You know, it's not the best thing for you, but it's not the worst thing either. But I was there and I was standing in line, and there was this truck driver, has big rig out there, complaining about everything. You know, and he was telling the whole McDonald's, you know, a lot of people in there. And he says, you know, I can't get anybody to work. I can't show up to get a load. I can't get anybody to load my truck. I can't get anybody to unload my truck. I got this going on. I got that going on. I'm telling all of us. Telling everybody. And I'm sitting there, I'm okay. It's all good. So he goes to pay his bill. And I said, here, I want to pay for that. I bought his lunch. He goes, why did you do that? He goes, I've never had anybody buy me lunch, ever. He says, I've bought people lunch before, but I've never had anybody buy me. Why did you do that? You don't know me. I said, God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. He got real quiet. I said, yeah. He goes, well, okay. And he got his bag and drink and looked at me and thank you very much. And walked out and got in his truck. I guarantee you, he had trouble sleeping that night. I can actually believe, I'll bet you some of his complaining might have come down a notch or two. I know I planted a seed because I felt it.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.